Church, it's great to be with you this morning. Thank you very much for being with us on a pretty gray day outside. But I am thankful for the rain. I'm thankful that it didn't stop you. We have a great crowd here this morning and certainly excited about all that's going on here at Azalea City. I'm also thankful for our visitors who are with us today. Again, you're very special to us as well. You know, sometimes I get the feeling like I'm about to say something and embarrass some folks. Well, that may be the case. But a little while ago, we're very excited to see, you know, and it's amazing to me that the kids, little bitty kids when I started here, are growing up. But I'm not getting any older. That's amazing to me. But some time ago, I'd like to congratulate publicly Carl Blankenship and Jordan. They got engaged, and Carl's grown up on me now. And I remember him at camp, little bitty fella out there and such. But congratulations to you guys. So happy for y'all. Y'all be praying for them. And then on the 21st of March, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming, Paige. Paige Schmidt turned 21 years old. Brandon, how is that possible? You know, I don't know. I know, neither one of us aged, brother. It's amazing. But not only did she turn 21, but her boyfriend then, Lance, who she met while at Harding University, also became her fiancé. And so they got engaged to be married too. So congratulations to these guys. It encourages me to see young people who are now young adults make good decisions, and I'm thankful for that, and mamas and daddies alike, I know, are as well. In 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16, again, that was our long scripture for today, through 25 actually, but Peter writes these words in verses 13 through 16, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Had that on the screen. I don't know, brother, we having issues? Okay, go through the scriptures then, if you don't mind. We live in a time when people are chasing a lot of things. They're chasing success. We talked about this in my class this morning. We're talking about the ethics of money, and it, you know, we talked about money in there, and our society is judging success on how much is in your bank account. And people are chasing that, right? People are chasing status. I want to be this, and I want to be that. And essentially, you know, people want... I heard of this one time, and listen, I'm proud of everybody who has a status. If you've earned it, congratulations, but don't have this mindset, please. There was a man, a Christian man, who had earned his PhD in education, and he was written to by someone else, and they addressed him as just his regular name. He politely wrote back to that person and answered the request and then said, "Oh, by the way, it's Dr. so-and-so." You see, that's chasing status. There are people out there that are doing that. And you know, that's all around us every day. I want to be referred to this. I want to make this much money. I want to be, and they're chasing acceptance. I want to be accepted by all. But the question we have to ask ourselves is how many people are truly pursuing holiness? Holiness is not just being good. Holiness is not just going to church. Holiness is not just checking things off when it comes to religion. Holiness, rather, is living a life that is set apart from society, set apart from the world. A life that is sanctified, a life that is different, a life that is devoted to God no matter what. I need you to know this, church. Holiness for the Christian is not optional. Holiness for the Christian is not optional. In fact, it is a command. It is a calling, and it comes from God Almighty. The good news is holiness is not about being perfect, because we can't obtain perfection. Yes, through Jesus Christ, we are made perfect, but it's impossible for us on our own to obtain that perfection. Rather, holiness is about direction. It's about being pointed in our lives towards the holiness of God. Holiness is not just for the super spiritual person. Holiness is not just for the preacher. Holiness is not just for the elder in the church. Holiness is a requirement for every one of us that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible teaches in 1 Peter 1:15-16, but as He, that is God, who called you is, you know it, holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We're talking about living stones. This first quarter of the year, I've talked about living like Jesus. If we're going to be living stones, then we must live like the cornerstone. We've got to be connected to that chief cornerstone to even have a foundation in our spiritual walk. I want you to know that the one you're living like today, the one that called you today, the one that washed your sins away today through His precious blood that Bill spoke of just a moment ago, that same Jesus Christ is holy. He pursued holiness. Again, holiness is not a suggestion. It's a command. And it comes from the very one who saved us from our sins. So today, what are we going to do in our sermon time? We're going to unpack what it means to pursue holiness and to live set apart in a world, let's face it, that's pulling us in every direction but God. Think about that. There's a great crowd here today, but I would imagine that if you allowed yourself, or if you think on your life, you were pulled in a lot of directions to not be here today. Maybe you got up and you looked outside and it was raining and you don't like to drive on wet roads. So you were pulled to not be here. Or maybe you have something that's going on, or maybe your child's involved in something or something else, and you were pulled in a lot of directions. Well, guess what? Tomorrow you will be as well. So will Tuesday and the rest of the week. You will be pulled in so many directions, whether you're retired, whether you're in school, or whether you are in just whatever is the prime of your life, working and doing what you do. The world is pulling us in a lot of directions, and most of them are not towards God. But today we're going to unpack what it means to not listen to the world, but pursue God. Number one, there is a mandate of holiness. And that is simply, be holy. You see, God's not the author of confusion. And I'm so thankful for that because it doesn't take me much to confuse myself. And so as I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you know what I can see on every single page? God. You know what I can see on every single page? Holiness. You know what God, the one who wrote it, the one who is holy, told me to do? Two words. Be holy. And it's a mandate. Peter quotes here Leviticus 11:44. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, if you'll recall in the Levitical law, and what they're doing is making laws to keep them alive, to keep them pure. Most of those laws, and they're hard to read some of them through Leviticus, right? There's some things in there that, especially if you read it from some more plainly written versions, there's some things in there that might curl your toes a little bit. But all those laws was to keep them a holy nation. Why? So the Holy One, Jesus Christ, could come to this world to allow us to pursue holiness. Holiness isn't something we drum up on our own. In fact, let's start from the foundation of where it comes from. As Leviticus teaches us, as Peter reminds us, holiness flows from the Creator Himself. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. God has delivered Israel. Man, what a scene that was, right? You'll remember it. They were in captive to Egypt. Egypt would not let God's people go. And so through these 10 plagues, the last one being the death of the firstborn son of Pharaoh himself, he finally says, go, and about a little ways down, he changes his mind again, as he normally did, Pharaoh that is, and so he pursues the Hebrews. And so what does God do? He opens up the Red Sea, and they cross on that dry land. And once they cross on that dry land, he releases that sea, and it takes out the ones who were against them. Well, they get to the other side, and again, what a victory, right? So what are you going to do? I'm going to sing, Moses said. And so he begins what we call the Song of Moses here in Exodus 15:11. Listen to this. God delivered Israel from Egypt. Moses sang, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders. As Virgil led us in our Shepherd's Prayer this morning, he addressed it to the God who is like no other God. That's what Moses is saying. Moses, who was a friend of God, he's just watched what God has done. Now, he was there through it all, and he watched plague after plague after plague, and then he watched all the darkness and the death angel and all of those things. And then he watched God, and through his staff, he parted those seas back, and they crossed on that dry land, and then they brought those waters back together. And so Moses gets to the other side, and you know what he does? He sings about the awesome holiness of God. What has he delivered you from? What has he delivered me from? He's delivered us from a lot of things, sin being number one. Are we still singing about the awesomeness and splendor of our holy God? You see, God's holiness is His absolute perfection. God is completely separated from sin. God has an unmatched glory. There is no other God like Yahweh Jehovah God. So when we say God is holy, as He said in Leviticus, I am holy. You be holy because I am holy. God Himself said that. And so when we say it and we quote it, God is holy, we're saying that there is no one like Him. He's completely set apart. Now here's the amazing part. the same God that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. And he saw the cherubim quoting and chanting, "Holy, holy, holy." The one who is as holy as holiness can be. This holy God called every one of us to share in His holiness. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12:14 writes, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Wow, that's a strong verse, folks. We talk about strong verses in Scripture. Listen to this one. Pursue peace with all people and pursue holiness, he says, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's a high calling. But it's not about us being perfect in our own strength, as we mentioned earlier. Holiness is about us reflecting the one who is perfect. Think about this. When you were baptized into Jesus Christ, what happened? The Galatians, and Paul, in writing to the church at Galatia, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, he says, as many of you were baptized into Christ, what did you do? You put on Christ. You clothed yourself with Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We're called to live like Him. We're called to wear Him. If we're wearing Jesus, we're wearing His righteousness. But we're also wearing His holiness. That's really important, because tomorrow, maybe even this afternoon, sometime in the immediate future, we will go into the world and we will be surrounded by dirt and filth. Are we going to keep Jesus Christ on and His righteousness and His holiness, or are we going to take it off and blend in with that? Listen, I'm guilty as charged with this too. I've got deadbolts. I've got an alarm system. I've got guns and ammunition. Okay? I'm keeping the bad guys out, right? That's what we're doing. We're keeping the bad guys out. Sometimes the worst things are what we've already locked in there. We might this afternoon go and pursue filth ourselves. The church, we were called, we were mandated to get rid of filth and be holy. You see, the starting point is this, earning God's favor. But then it's about living out the favor. And that favor He's already given us through Jesus Christ. But let's be honest, right? Let's be real. Knowing God is holy and that we're called to be holy, it's not exactly always easy. That doesn't mean it's simple to do, because we live in a world that doesn't care about holiness at all. It's a world of compromise. It's a world of do what feels good. It's a world of blending in. So how do we pursue it? Think about it this way. If you buy white clothes, maybe you've got a white shirt on, got a white dress on, your kids have white clothes on because Easter's coming up and all this spring that we're talking about, and it's going to be beautiful and we're going to have all these bright colors. You know what you're going to do to them? You're going to be like, "Do not get anything on this white shirt, on this white dress, on this white fill-in-the-blank," right? Why? Because white and bright colors can easily stain. God has clothed us in white robes. Revelation 7:14. God has already done the hard part. He put the white robes on you that He purchased with the blood of His Son. All He's asking us to do is keep them unstained. keep them clean. God did not save us just to forgive us. That is a huge part of it, right? But God didn't save us just to forgive us. God saved us to transform us. Holiness isn't just about staying out of sin. It's being dedicated to God and His service. So number one, the mandate of holiness is exactly that. Be holy. Number two, there is a mindset of holiness. Prepare your minds for action. Holiness begins in the mind. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 1:13, prepare your minds. As was read to us earlier from Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We cannot live a holy life with an unholy mind. It's just not going to work. If we're going to be holy, again, we've got to be set apart. We can't be like the others. In fact, that's what the word holy means. It means separated, distinct, different. Isn't that what the ecclesia is? The church itself is the called out. That's why Jesus said that you live in the world, but don't live of the world. Don't belong to the world. That's why He challenged us to be a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Listen. It's as simple as this. Go back to the white robe. Okay? I come to worship today. Why? To worship the holy God. But I'm also, as Virgil prayed, He's love. I'm here in love to love Him, but to love others, to reach out to others, to be there for others, to stir up love and good works, as the Hebrew writer said. And I came here and I feel good. You know, I was motivated. I sang these songs, and Joseph, he always texts me, hey, what you preaching on this week? He started it out with holiness, and he sang throughout all about being holy today. And so we've talked about our holy God, and Bill did such a great job, and we've read from God's Word, and we've gone to God in prayer, and I'm going to leave here today proudly wearing my white robe. But am I going home to live in sin? You know, I used to use this illustration with teenagers, but I think it works pretty well with adults too. It's rained a lot today. Boy, that's fitting. Suppose we said, hey, Terry, you preached long enough. Let's have the amen of the prayer, and let's go get in that. Now, we don't have our good white Sunday shirt clothes on, okay? We got old school clothes on. There's a big mud puddle out there. Let's all just go jump in the mud. You think that preacher is crazy, but hear me out. Why would we jump in the mud? Because, listen, jumping in the mud, whether you admit it or not, it's fun. And now we're in the mud, and people are having a good time because it's been raining, and it's muddy, and I've got all this mud all over me. And after a while, it's got a little bit in my mouth and my ears, you know. You know how it works? I'm like, I am tired of being in the mud. So what do I have to do? You know what you're going to say? What most teenagers say? Get clean. Not while I'm in the mud. You see, if you get clean in the mud, you just get muddy again. So the first thing I got to do is get out of the mud. Once I'm out of the mud, that's repentance. Then I must be washed. Some of us have been washed, but we're still living in mud. That white robe is now stained. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God's calling us out of the world's ways, and He's calling us into His way. Would you expect clean water from a dirty pipe? You see, if our mind is constantly filled with filth, and you know all the places we can get that, our life's going to reflect it. Now, doesn't mean we lock ourselves in a bubble, right? And avoid all sinners. After all, Jesus didn't do that. He ate with tax collectors. He ate with sinners. But He never became like them. He always brought them up rather than they bringing Him down. You know the old saying, hitched your wagon? Figure in Sims, we know that saying, right? If I've hitched my wagon to some people, if I've hitched my wagon to a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if I've hitched my wagon to a group of friends or to a group of things or to a group of whatever that's bringing me down rather than me bringing them up, it's time to unhitch the wagon. It's as simple as that. He's not the author of confusion. Being set apart isn't about isolation, it's about transformation. Guard your thoughts. Let's be intentional about what we consume. Holiness is proactive, not reactive. That's why Peter said, prepare your minds. It doesn't happen by accident. Number three, the motive for holiness. Set all your hope on grace. We don't pursue holiness out of fear. We pursue holiness out of grace. Now you need to understand this. Grace is not a license to sin. It's the fuel for transformation. The hope of Christ's return should motivate us to live holy lives right now. You know, we sing it, right? It is well. What a song, right? What a song. And if you know the meaning behind that song, it is even more powerful. But how about that last verse? The trumpet shall sound. The clouds will be rolled back as a scroll. The Lord will descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. If we were to sing that song today and you sang that third verse, knowing that the Lord will return, knowing that the trumpet will sound and the Lord will descend and the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll, could you sing today truthfully that it is well with your soul? In other words, if He came back today, would it be well with your soul? I hope that it is. In fact, the hope of Christ's return should motivate us to live holy right now. Pursuing holiness, though, isn't a one and done kind of thing. You know there's a basketball tournament going on. It's a pretty big one. It's for the national championship. They're almost down to four teams. It is a one and done game. You don't play a 2 out of 3, a 4 out of 7, a 3 out of 5. You go out and you play one game and it's over. That's not what holiness is. Holiness says, hey, I did it. Sunday, March the 30th. 2025, I'm good for about 6 more months. No, that's not how it works, folks. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, train yourself for godliness. Couldn't we say the same thing about holiness? Train yourself for holiness. It is a lifelong journey. It's going to take effort. We've got to roll our sleeves up and go to work on it. When he says train yourself, that's not passive, it's active. It's like a farmer tending a field, an athlete running a race. It's going to take discipline. It means it's going to take prayer. It's going to take studying our Word. It's going to take worshiping. It's going to take fellowship. It's going to take serving others. But guess what? Those aren't optional extras. That's how we grow in holiness. When someone you care about is coming over to your house, what do you do? Typically, you clean the house. You're going to straighten everything up. You're going to dust. You're going to mop. You're going to vacuum. Make sure the beds are made. All this great stuff. Why? Because somebody I love and somebody special, they're coming over to my house. Jesus Christ is coming back. Get His house. Think about Peter. Bill, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit lines things up, right? He talked about Peter launching into the deep today, right? I love that story. But who was Peter? Who was Simon? He was a rough fisherman. Probably had a bad mouth, foul mouth at times. He was impulsive. He was brash. He even denied that Jesus Christ was the Son of God 3 times and that He had been with Him. But after He had breakfast with the Savior in John 21, Jesus in Acts 1 talked to them all, addressed them all, said, "The Holy Spirit's coming." Jesus went back up and the Holy Spirit came. After the Holy Spirit filled Peter, you know what he became? The bold apostle we know who wrote about holiness. Listen, unless you are one of these little babies that are coming up to put that money in that plate, we've all stumbled. They're innocent. They haven't got there yet. But once we reach that age where we know what sin is and what sin does to us, we choose sin. We stumble. We make mistakes. Maybe you stumbled a lot. Maybe you feel like holiness is too far out of reach. Here's the beauty of it. God's grace will meet us where we are. And then His grace will carry us forward. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Grace is not a free pass to sin. In fact, Paul said in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, certainly not. May it never be. Whatever version you have, no, is the answer. It's not a free pass to sin. In fact, grace is the power to overcome sin. So let's let the grace and hope of Jesus drive us today to live differently, called out from the world, separate from the world, holy. Last point. The manifestation of holiness. Say that 10 times fast. Holiness manifested. We must be holy in all our conduct. Holiness isn't reserved for Sunday. Newsflash, it's not just reserved for today. It's all your conduct. You know, I've said this before. Both my brothers are here, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus today, any of them. Either of them. But we had a dad who was very strict on grades. You could get away with slipping a little bit in a grade if you had an A in conduct. But if your grade slipped and your conduct was bad, he put two and two together. And that was ugly. Okay? That didn't work out so well. Why? Because he understood as long as that conduct was good, you were out of trouble. You were doing the right thing. Now, you and I don't get conduct grades anymore. But how are we conducting ourselves? See, right now, I'd give all of you an A in conduct. For the most part, everybody is still with me. But I don't know how you'll be tomorrow. I'm not going to be with you. You don't know how I'm going to be tomorrow. You're not going to be with me. Holiness isn't just reserved for Sunday. It's for in every way we conduct our lives every single day. It's the way we talk. It's the way we treat others. It's how we think. It's how we work. It's how we forgive. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, "For God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness." Think about that. Your grandparents, they got that china cabinet, right? In that china cabinet, you know what there is? Special china. Special dishes. "Hey, Grandma, can we eat on that plate today?" "Oh, no. Those plates are for special occasions." You see, those plates are set apart, right, from the others. That special china is not just used for anything. It's used for the best. Our lives, they are a vessel for God. They are dedicated, purified, reserved for His purposes. Our lives aren't just for anything. They aren't just for the common meal, the common day, the common people. Oh yes, we need to love those people and reach out to those people, but we are not to be those people once we have been set apart. It's the special. Does your holiness show at home? Does your holiness show at school? Does your holiness show on social media? Does your holiness show in the break room? You see, holiness cannot be hidden. It should not be hidden. It needs to be lived. So as we conclude, here's the call. Two words. Pursue holiness. Start with God. That's the foundation. He is the reason we can be holy today because He is holy. Let His holiness inspire us, inspire you. Separate from the world. If the world is in your home, get the world out. If the world is in your life, get it out today. Let your life, give your life, to show that you belong to Jesus. And then grow your holiness through discipline, through grace, and let God's Spirit work in you day by day. I think we all can agree the world needs more holy people. Not perfect people, but people that are set apart for God's glory. Maybe you're here today and you've never begun that journey. Maybe you've never been immersed in water, obeying the gospel as is written in the Scriptures. You see, the Bible commands us in Acts 2, verse 38, "Get out of the mud, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For the forgiveness of sins. That's pretty plain. That's where holiness starts. With a new birth. And you know what? That opportunity is available today. You can get out of the mud and you can get clean. Not because of the water, but because of the blood of Jesus. Or maybe you are here today and you've done that. You've drifted. you've taken that white robe off, or you've gotten some stains all over it. You've allowed the world to creep in. I can't promise you next week, but I can promise you right now. And if right now, if we need to come forward and repent of a public sin and get it out of our lives, or we need to do it in our seats on our private sins, or if we need strength for it all, or we need to be baptized, I can promise you today that if you will make those decisions and allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all sin, you can sing that third verse proudly, because it will be well with your soul. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.